The land of Palestine was and has been a rocky, stony kind of terrain. In fact, it's different than the land of, say, Egypt and Mesopotamia, where the land was flat and marked by smooth ground. Because of the lack of stone in Egypt and Babylon, the ancients had to make bricks in their building projects. For instance, the Tower of Babel was made with bricks. And remember the pyramids in Egypt as well. Exodus tells us that the Egyptians made the Israelites to work with rigor in mortar and stone, in mortar and brick because of the lack of stone. But it was the opposite in Palestine. Upon entering Palestine, you could encounter a humongous quantity of stones from quarries and stream beds. Palestine has been known as a rocky land with an abundance of stones and pebbles on all of the unpaved roads. Because of this rocky terrain, a traveler had to be cautious about where he went, as far as being careful not to trip, slip, or fall, making his journey on the roads. Thus, the term stumbling block was familiar to many people listening to a story in an audience. In the Bible, the term stumbling block, or to stumble, was not just used in physical terms, but it also represented something on a spiritual level as well. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll be looking at verse number 10. And of course, remember Matthew chapter 24 is the chapter where the disciples approached Jesus Christ and asked him to give them some of the specific signs of his return and the end of the age. And Matthew chapter 24 spells out a lot of the signs of the end of the age and Christ's imminent return, what would be happening. Matthew chapter 24. And actually, let's begin reading in verse number 9. We see previously that Christ had said that some of the things that he mentioned previously, the beginning of sorrows, many false prophets coming on the scene, the terrible things that would be happening with earthquakes and such, that these would be just the beginning of sorrows upon the earth. Then in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 9, he begins to directly address the disciples. And he says this, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you." Notice the "you." He's talking to the disciples. And again, when you put it into the context of the end times, he's talking to us as disciples as well. "And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Then verse number 10. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." And remember, this is signs of things that would be happening just before Jesus Christ returns. And he's talking to the disciples, you as disciples. Notice he says, "Many shall be offended." This word "offended" can also be translated "stumbled." The Amplified version of the Bible reads like this, "And then many will be offended and repelled and will stumble and fall away and will betray one another and pursue one another with hatred." So many disciples before Jesus Christ returns will stumble and fall away. So we have a picture here in Matthew chapter 24. In a growing climate of lawlessness and hostility, people will stumble. They will begin to abandon God. They will abandon God's word and go down to the path of destruction. So what can cause disciples to stumble and fall away? What is it that could cause a disciple to stumble and fall away from the truth? Well, the answer is sin. And one of the signs of the end times before Christ returns is that society will be so rampant in sin that disciples can stumble and fall away and fall into sin. The title of today's sermon is, "Be Careful Not to Stumble." Be careful not to stumble. Today, we are going to examine why people stumble. There are some specific reasons. There are actually many reasons why people stumble. We're going to examine some of those today. Stumbling leads to a falling away, and it's because of sin. It's a characteristic of the end of the age. One stumbles when his character is not in line with God. Then, as we progress with the sermon, after we examine why people stumble and fall away, we will take a look at how we can strengthen ourselves, how we can strengthen ourselves spiritually speaking, so that we do not trip up and stumble or fall away. This is a good topic to examine as we approach the Passover in the days of unleavened bread, because we need to examine ourselves to see if there's any stumbling blocks in our lives that can cause us to fall into sin or to fall away, especially in the end of the age. We need to get stumbling blocks out of our lives. Notice again here in verse number 10, the word offend. Now, if you think about our English word offend, what do you think of? Well, you might think of making somebody angry with what you say. You displease them in your manners or whatever you say to them. But this is by no means the sense of the word in Scripture. Actually, this word offend in the original Greek comes from a Greek word skandaliso, which we get our word scandalize or scandal. And it means to put a snare or stumbling block in the way. So this word offend is better translated stumble. Because it's not like offending a person. It's actually something that makes a person stumble and fall into sin. And it actually means to cause to fall into sin. Here's what Barnes Notes says about the word offend. It says this: offend commonly means a stumbling block or a stone placed in the way over which one might fall. And again, going back to the rocky terrain in Palestine, the people knew what it was like to watch out for stones in the way and not to stumble along the way. Offend also means a net, or a certain part of a net against which if a bird strikes, it springs into the net and is taken. So it's a trap for a bird or perhaps an animal of some sort. So offend comes to signify anything by which we might fall. And it means anything by which we might fall into sin. So Jesus Christ is warning the disciples that many are going to stumble and fall into sin before he returns. Now, could that be one of us? And does it apply to the church today? Well, yes, it does. Look at our past history. Just in recent times, there has been many people that have fallen away and fallen into sin. So it does happen to disciples. And as time progresses, as things get worse, even many more disciples can fall away, stumble into sin. So it's something that we need to take to heart and to think about, especially as the days of unleavened bread approach, to get these things out of our lives. The paraphrase of verse number 10 reads like this: and many of you shall fall back into sin and betray and hate each other. That's a terrible thing to think about for a disciple, to stumble so badly and fall into sin that he actually betrays one of his fellow brethren. And yet Christ says it's going to be one of the signs of his imminent return, disciples falling away like this. A stumbling block in the New Testament is built upon the figure of a trap that's baited for an unsuspecting prey. An unsuspecting prey. Somebody that's going along, like a bird that's going along, merrily flying along, and gets into the net, into the trap. And a disciple could have the same thing happen. Unsuspectingly going along, falls into the trap of sin. So these are things that cause us to stumble, to fall into sin. So let's examine some of these things so that we can prepare, and as the spring holidays approach, examine our lives and try to root these things out of our lives. Let's go to Joshua chapter 23. God warned the Israelites when they came into the land that they had to be careful of the nations around them. He had mightily taken care of the nations as they came into the land, but he warned them not to fall into their specific ways, which would lead them away from God. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23, and let's begin reading in verse number 11. God says to the Israelites, "Therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you." And notice, "But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." So God warned them. He warned ancient Israel of the danger of the nations in associating and mingling with these other nations, and how they could fall into their traps and snares and fall into sin if they got too close and mingling in with them. God was warning the Israelites not to get caught up in their evil, sinful ways of the land, the people that God had taken care of, not to fall back into their traps. A stumbling block trips people up, entices them into sin, and it causes us to fall into destruction, spiritually speaking. So what kind of stumbling block could cause you to fall away? Fall away from the truth and from God's church. Well, let's examine some of the typical stumbling blocks so that we can root them out of our lives and be aware of these traps, especially in the end of the age. The way society is going, it can pull us down and pull us away. Now, there's many types of stumbling blocks that we could examine, but we're just going to take a look at a few of them that are characteristic of the times that we live in today. The first stumbling block is those who reject God. Those who reject God. Now you might be thinking, okay, I would never reject God. That's why I come here to Sabbath services, and that's why I'm a part of the church. And yet, there are people that have been part of the church who have totally turned around, gone down the road of darkness and fallen away and rejected God. Disciples can fall into this category. And it has happened in our time. And Christ was warning the disciples in Matthew 24, verse 10, that it's going to continue to be that way. Let's go to Hosea chapter 5. We saw this in our Bible study series on the minor prophets in Hosea when we went through it a while back now. But this gives us the story of what happened to ancient Israel and how they fell into idolatry and sin, and eventually God brought judgment upon them in the form of the Assyrian nation. But it's also a prophecy, a snapshot of our world today and how society is and how we can fall into sin as well. Hosea chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Hosea 5, verse number 1. "Hear this, O priests. Take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king." Notice God is addressing here the priests and the kings, the leadership of Israel, the very leadership that should be leading Israel down the right path. He's drawing their attention to what they should be doing. Now, I'd like to point out that this first phrase here, "hear this," goes back to chapter 4, verse number 1. Let's flip back a page or so to chapter 4, verse number 1, where God said, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." So he addressed in chapter 4, verse number 1, the children of Israel, the people in general. Chapter 5, he's addressing the leadership. But notice what he says, chapter 4, verse number 1. "You hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." And what's the charge? "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." That's how far the ancient Israelites had digressed. From the time they came into the land, the promised land, to this time when Hosea was preaching, just 50 years or so before Israel would fall to the Assyrians, the punishment that would come upon them for their sin. They had digressed so badly that Hosea was preaching that there's no knowledge of God in the land. Fast forward to our society today, in our nation today. We're beginning to see this playing out in our world and society today. No knowledge of God in the land. Abandoning God's Word, where the Ten Commandments are not taught to children. People do not learn from God's way of life, God's Word. Verse number 2, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Here's some of the commandments specifically addressed here. Killing and stealing, swearing and lying. Think about our entertainment. It's written right here in verse number 2. Not only entertainment, but turn on the news and you hear about another killing that went on here or there in a school or a shopping mall or whatever. It seems like every day there's something else going on. It's a snapshot of our world today. And why? Because there's no knowledge of God in the land. Back to verse number 1 of chapter 5. God's addressing the leadership now. There's no knowledge of God in the land. And the leadership, the priests and the kings should be teaching it. Continuing on. For yours is the judgment. Judgment's going to come upon them because of the sin that they're falling into. Because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. These are some of the high places in the land of Israel. And notice, a snare and a spread and a net spread and a snare have been put out to the people. And the people are falling into it. Verse number 2, the revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Not just hunted down, but slaughtered. Though I rebuke them all. Verse number 3, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. God knows, He sees, He knows what's going on. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. Verse number 4, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. They don't turn to God. They don't turn away. Even though Hosea and Amos and some of the other prophets were preaching to Israel, telling them to repent and turn back to God, their deeds had gotten them so deeply into sin that there was no turning back. They had fallen so badly into sin. Continuing on, For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. We read that in chapter 4, that there's no knowledge of God in the land. Verse number 5, the pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. Notice it says, the pride of Israel. And pride leads to a downfall. Hold your place here in Hosea, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verse number 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. As you might notice in your margin, if it is like mine, there's a mark by where it says a fall, and it says in the margin, a stumbling. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride and a haughty spirit are connected together, and destruction and stumbling or a fall are connected together. The pride, the proud, think that they're above others. They think they're well above others. They don't think that they have any weaknesses or any sins. And they don't anticipate that stumbling blocks could come along until they're tripped up. Expositor's commentary points out that there's an Arabic proverb that reads like this: the nose is in the heavens, but the seat is in the mire. And that's the way it is for the proud. They think that they're above everybody else until they get tripped up and fall. Continue to hold your place in Hosea, and let's go to Psalms chapter 119. Psalm 119, verses 85 and 86. Psalm 119. Verse 85. The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. Have dug pits for me, a disciple, which is not according to your law. Now think about that in our day and time, in our society. The proud, those that think they're above everybody else, and the leadership who should be leading us down the right path, they have dug pits by their decrees and their laws and the things that they bring forth, to which people can fall into and stumble and break God's law because they're not according to the law. They, with their lawless ideas, dig pits for the righteous to fall into. And it's easy to fall into a pit. But notice verse number 86. All your commandments are faithful. That's what we have to zero in on. Despite what society tells us, despite what the leadership tells us, God's commandments are faithful. That's what we have to keep in mind. Let's go back now to Hosea chapter 5 and verse number 5. It says, therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity, and Judah also stumbles with them. Both of them, Israel and eventually Judah as well, were so steeped in sin and idolatry that they had become proud and arrogant against God. Against God. Thus, they would go into judgment. Verse number 6. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord. It's going to be a little too late to offer sacrifice and go before God, outward sacrifice, when they didn't have any true faith. But they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. Verse number 7. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan or strange children, and a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. A new moon is 30 days, a very short time for them to fall. Pagan children who do not know God, parents who did not rear their children in God's ways, and they fall into sin, and they stumble into their iniquity, as it says here in verse number 5. Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 8. It had become so bad amongst the children of Israel. Notice Hosea 8 verse number 8. Israel is swallowed up. It stumbled so far into sin that they're virtually just swallowed up into it. Now they are among the Gentiles. You know, like the Gentile nations who worship the pagan religions. Like a vessel in which is no pleasure. Israel had intermingled with the nations and become swallowed up. Exactly what God cautioned them not to do. Swallowed up in the ways and the sins of the other nations. And disciples can be swallowed up as well if they're not careful. Our society in our Western world is deep. It's very deep into denying and turning away from God. And it results in a huge trap for any disciple to fall into if they're not walking down God's path of light. There's a danger of being swallowed up. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was summarizing in Romans chapter 1 a history of mankind and how he began to worship the elements, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and did not worship God in the way that he should, and it led to a corruption of mankind. Romans chapter 1, and let's pick it up in verse number 28. Now think about this in light of what we read in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 5, that there was no knowledge of God in the land in ancient Israel. And we're seeing that today people that have less of a knowledge of God in our Western world. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. There's a formula here in verse number 28. When people do not retain God in their knowledge, God allows their mind to go over to do things that are not fitting. And we're going to read about those things as we continue on. God allows that to happen if the mind does not retain the knowledge of God. And it could happen to a disciple when he goes from walking down the path of light to turning to the path of darkness. Continuing on, here's the things not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, you know, breaking God's commandments, in other words, sexual immorality, rampant in today's world, wickedness, covetousness, you know, the proud taking advantage of others, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, we see that on a daily basis, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, don't want God's law around anymore, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Quite the list of where man goes to when he lacks the knowledge of God. God allows the mind to go down that path of destruction, to all these things that are listed here. And that's why we see these things developing in society. And the problem is the trap where we can stumble as disciples if we have our blinders on and we're not really careful about the path we're going down. It can swallow us up, just like it did the ancient Israelites. And it has brethren before us as well. So Paul gave us some admonition in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. To counter these things that we read about in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A transformation of the mind has to be taking place, and that has to happen through God's Holy Spirit, exercising God's Holy Spirit through His Word, our daily Bible study, our prayer, the things that we do to exercise His Holy Spirit, that transformation of our mind so that we don't go down that path of unrighteousness that we read about, the debased mind that does not have the knowledge of God, and proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And remember, we have to be focused because Christ warns us before He returns that many brethren are going to stumble. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, the scripture that we started with in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, was quoted from this section of scripture in Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to take a look at that because it gives us another snapshot of how we need to be careful and not to stumble. Isaiah chapter 8. In this section of Isaiah, there was a lot of intrigue going on between the nations, between Israel and Judah and Syria and Assyria and some of the nations. And God was warning the Israelites about the punishment that would come upon Israel. And let's pick it up in verse number 13. God says, the Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. Verse 14, He will be a sanctuary. A sanctuary to those that are obedient and following His way of life. He'll be a shield and a help, a helper in time of need. But a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel. Why? Because of the sin. The path that they were going down. They were going to reap punishment, in other words. As a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now verse number 15. And this focuses in where we started with this in this sermon in Matthew chapter 24. And many among them shall stumble, and they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Many shall fall and be broken and snared and taken. The Hebrew words, Expositor's Commentary points this out, that these seven Hebrew words in verse number 15 have a terrifying force reading these words. In other words, it stands out. It jumps out from the pages of the Bible. How forceful the meaning is here. It's a warning. And it's a warning to address to disciples. In other words, we could say, they will stumble, many of them. They will fall, be smashed, snared, and seized. And it's a warning to disciples because of the snare of sin and how we can fall away. Let's go to John chapter 6, because we do know that disciples can fall into the trap of sin. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's begin reading in verse number 58. Of course, we read this section of Scripture during the Passover ceremony, the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 58. This is the bread, Christ talking about himself. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, verse 60, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? So when Christ was expounding that he is the bread of life, they said, we don't really get it. We don't understand what you're talking about. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Or does this cause you to stumble? Is what he was asking. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. He was telling them, follow me, hang on to me, have this close association with me. I am the bread of life. The Spirit, God's word, gives life. But, verse 64, there are some among you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Then notice verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. They stumbled. They fell. They fell back and walked with him no more. So we see an example here of disciples that were following Jesus Christ, the one that had the very words of life that had come from the Father, to preach the gospel message to these people and to die for all of our sins. And they fell back. They stumbled away. They could not accept his words of life. And so it can happen to disciples to stumble and fall back. And it's something, one of the stumbling blocks that we have to realize, that we have to be walking down God's road of light and not the road of darkness. And we have to be careful, and we have to root these things out of our lives. A second stumbling block is the divided heart. The divided heart. Hosea chapter 10. Let's go back to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 1. Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself. This is talking about the cause and effect principle. You know, there's a cause and there's an effect on what is done. And Israel is bringing forth fruit. He's known by his fruit, in other words. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitude of its fruit. And what is the fruit that he has brought forth? Continuing on, he has increased the altars according to the bounty of his land, and they have embellished his sacred pillars. Israel was blessed by God, blessed bountifully. And in the time that Hosea was preaching, Israel was at their peak of power and prestige and the blessings that they had physically speaking. And yet, they were sunken into idolatry, big time into idolatry. And that's what's being expounded here. That's the fruit that they're bringing forth. Verse number two, here's what's happening to Israel. Their heart is divided. The divided heart. A divided heart. A heart that goes this way and yet wants to go this way. It's talking about those that would speak in God's name and yet they're worshiping the pagan altars, the pagan gods. A divided heart. Not really worshiping God with all their heart and all their intentions, but also worshiping a pagan. Giving lip service to God. No more than that. The paraphrase of verse number one reads like this. The more wealth I give her, the more she pours in to the altars of the heathen gods. A divided heart was the root of the problem. Another way of putting it is being hypocritical. Is being a hypocrite. And Jesus Christ warned about hypocrisy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. A divided heart, a hypocritic heart. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, and we'll be reading verses 25 through 28. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, he called them. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. The outside looks pretty good. The outside, physically speaking, of the person. Shined up, polished, looks pretty good. But inside, rottenness. Self-indulgence, extortion. Verse 26, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Again, going back to Hosea, the divided heart. Looks good on the outside, but inside, it's rotten. Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And this can be a stumbling block to the disciples, the hypocritical. Looking good on the outside, religiously speaking, but inside, you're rotten. It's something that we have to root out of our lives. A hypocrite, back in those times of Jesus Christ, amongst the Greeks and the Romans, were well known because they were the play actors. The play actors. So what we have here when Christ was calling them hypocrites is somebody who's play acting religion. Looks good on the outside, but inside, they're not. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Ezekiel 14, verse number 1. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying. So we got some of these elders coming before Ezekiel. They're sitting down and they're waiting. And here comes God's word to them. Verse number 3. Son of men, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of it all by them? Verse number 4. Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they all are estranged from me by their idols. God was warning the leaders of Israel that the people are setting up idols in their hearts. And this doesn't necessarily just mean worshiping the pagan gods. It can mean any kind of idols, anything that you set before God, whether it be money, whether it be power, whether it be something that gets in the way of you worshiping God, anything that comes before putting God first in your life. A twofold allegiance. You know, you say you're worshiping God, and yet there's something else in your life that's more important. As Jesus Christ put it, a hypocrite, looking good on the outside, but inside you're rotten. Verse number 7. For anyone of the house of Israel, or the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates from me and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts him before, and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God will take action for somebody that's of a hypocritical, divided heart. In a Christian, a disciple can fall into this kind of stumbling block if he's not careful. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, one more scripture relating to the divided heart. Christ put it in another way here. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And that's typical of somebody who's has the divided heart. You're saying Lord, Lord with your lips, lip service, but inside, in the heart, there's something wrong inside. And that's what Jesus Christ is bringing out, the divided heart. It's a stumbling block. And unfortunately, a disciple can fall into this kind of trap, where he looks good on the outside, religiously speaking, but inside, he's rotten. And it's something that we need to examine ourselves and root out of our lives. Stumbling block number 3. And as I say, there's all kinds of stumbling blocks we can look at, but we're looking at characteristics of our society today. Stumbling block number 3, material gain. Material gain. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 7. The last 50 years of the northern tribes of Israel, when Hosea was prophesying, was a time of peak prosperity in the land of Israel. They were at the height of their power. They were blessed, physically speaking, and yet they were corrupt. They were corrupt spiritually speaking. And when you look fast forward to our day and time, the modern nation of Israel, United States and Britain, we have been blessed. In our specific nation, you know, since World War II, we've been the most blessed nation upon this earth, physically speaking. So many blessings that we can count. And yet, look where we're falling morally speaking. We're falling down the path that ancient Israel did as well. And a lot of it has to do with being so blessed and not counting God for those blessings. Ezekiel, and you're probably already there and I'm not turned there yet. Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse number 19. God is warning Ezekiel, the children of Israel through Ezekiel in chapter 7. About the punishment that's going to be coming upon them. The punishment for falling into sin. Then he says in verse number 19, they will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. All the riches aren't going to do any good. They're going to be cast into the street. It'll be like refuse, it says here. Continuing on, their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them. All the money in all the banks, bank accounts, not going to help. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. Material gain, riches, a stumbling block that causes the nation to fall into sin. And disciples can fall into that type of sin as well, a stumbling block, material gain. Revelation chapter 3, there's a warning to the churches, specifically the church of the end time, the Laodicean church, just before Jesus Christ will return. Revelation chapter 3, it's a warning to all the churches down throughout the ages, but especially to the church of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let's actually pick it up in verse number 15, Revelation 3:15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Here again, we could throw in the divided heart. Cold and not hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Verse number 16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And here's why. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich. I have become wealthy, physically speaking, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And unfortunately, this is a snapshot of society today. Our people are blessed, so physically blessed, and yet they do not know, spiritually speaking, that they're naked and they're blind and falling away from God's truth by the minute. He says in verse 18, I counsel you, and here's where us as disciples really need to zero in on what we need to be doing. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And that's where the disciple comes in, to examining himself, and not to fall into the stumbling block of material gain, of being so physically blessed, and yet have the blinders on, and spiritually you're falling, you're stumbling down the road of darkness. It's one of those things that we need to be examining in our lives. One more stumbling block that I want to look at that fits in with today's world, and speaking from a Christian perspective, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Many disciples fall into this particular stumbling block. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Let's pick it up in verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Notice here the first part of verse 23, to the Jews a stumbling block. Something that caused them to stumble, the gospel message, and why Jesus Christ came to this earth. What was the stumbling block for the Jews? They had a different perspective of why Christ was there. They thought he was there to bring the nation of Israel back, to set up the king of Israel, to get rid of the Romans out of Palestine, and that Israel would be functioning as a nation once again. That's what they thought Jesus Christ was going to do. A totally different perspective of what he was actually there to do. To preach the message of the gospel of the coming kingdom. And to die for mankind's sins. They had a different perspective. And disciples can fall away when they have a wrong perspective of God's word, of the gospel message, and they get off track. For instance, disciples sometimes fall into the trap of maybe getting into dates and prophecy, to where they focus in on something where they think something should be happening in such and such a time or such and such a date. And then when it doesn't happen, they become disillusioned. They become disillusioned and they begin to, spiritually speaking, fall away. They don't study and do the things that they should be doing. Stumbling away. Or perhaps it could be an attachment to a figure, a person, a personality, where you zero in on a specific person and think, well, I should be following that person because I trust them or whatever it might be. And yet they could actually lead you down the wrong road. We've seen it happen in our time, haven't we? In our church. A different perception, a different perspective, just like the Jews had here, which was a stumbling block, a different perspective of Christ. Or it could be power and control rather than humility. A totally different perspective of what Jesus Christ had. Wanting to control and have power over others. When Christ said, you should be humble. These things can be a stumbling block to disciples. Something that we need to be examining and thinking about, especially at the end of the age and as we approach the spring holiday season. Now with the time that we have left, we've seen some of the things that disciples have to be careful of. Let's take a look at how we can root these things out of our lives. How we can be examining ourselves to avoid the stumbling blocks. Jesus Christ gave us the answer. He gave us the answer of how to avoid these things. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Let's finish the sermon noticing how we can avoid these particular things that can cause us to fall away. John chapter 16. And again, this is a section of Scripture that we read in the Passover service after we've taken of the New Testament symbols of the bread and the wine. And we read this section of Scripture because it was Jesus Christ pouring out His heart to the disciples on things that they needed to be aware of after He'd be leaving them. Notice, chapter 16, verse number 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. He gave a formula to the disciples and to us of how we can avoid stumbling. And what is it? It's the words that He had spoken previously to the disciples in chapter 14 and chapter 15. When He began to pour out His heart to the disciples of what they needed to be doing so that they won't stumble and fall away. Now, we don't have time to go through chapter 14 and verse 15. I've actually given a whole sermon on both of these particular chapters. But let's notice some things specifically in chapter 15 with the time that we have. Christ gives us the formula of how to avoid stumbling and falling away. John 15, verse number 4. He's talking about Him being the vine, the true vine. He says, verse number 4, abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. He's talking about having the relationship with Jesus Christ and God, being so close through our prayers and through our study of His Word that we have that strong relationship. And we won't stumble. Verse number 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. We'll go forward growing in the fruits of the Spirit. No going backward. We're going forward bearing fruit. For without Me, you can do nothing. If we're not attached and close and abiding and having that close relationship with Jesus Christ, we will stumble. We can't do it without Him. We have to be close in our relationship, bearing much fruit. Verse number 6, if anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. You stumble and fall away, in other words. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse number 8, by this My Father is glorified, when you're abiding and having that close relationship with Christ, that you bear much fruit. So you will be My disciples. Disciples that do not stumble and fall away, I will add. Verse number 9, as the Father loved Me, I also loved you. Abide in My love. And how do we abide in His love? Verse number 10, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments, and I abide in His love. Keeping the commandments is a way to abide in Jesus Christ's love and developing that close relationship with Him. We're talking about becoming converted. Becoming a converted Christian, a converted disciple. As you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, he said to become converted. Just become like a little child, a humble child, and become converted. And that's what we need to do. We need to have that close relationship. Also, the Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse number 26. When the Helper comes and we have that close relationship with God in Christ, God's Spirit working with us. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. And you will bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. This God's Spirit will help us along that way and give us that strength that we need to be overcoming and to becoming converted. This is the formula. This is how we can prepare ourselves to not stumble, to have that close relationship with Jesus Christ. This section of Scripture, John chapter 14 and verse 15, is something that we should be reading before the days of unleavened bread come and the Passover. Because it tells us, there's so many Scriptures in here of the relationship that we need with God the Father and Jesus Christ, so that we can keep away from stumbling. He says, "These things I have told you that you these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." And we need to apply them in our lives. In conclusion, ancient Israel was swallowed up into sin by mingling with the nations and the desires which were against God. Likewise, we as disciples face the danger of being swallowed up into sin by this world and society. As we move forward towards the spring holy days, let's begin to examine ourselves to see if we have that strong relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's the only way to keep from being tripped up and being enticed and falling into sin. We must ever be on guard and vigilant, looking to God to lift us up out of the snares of sin. One final scripture. Let's go to Psalm chapter 141. We'll read this in conclusion. Psalm chapter 141. Psalm 141, verses 9 and 10. This is what we can pray to God the Father. Psalm chapter 141, verse number 9. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me. You know, those snares and traps that are out there in society in this world that want to pull us down, swallow us up. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Lots of workers of iniquity today in our world. Verse number 10, let the wicked fall into their nets while I escape safely. Give me safety, God. I'm attaching myself, growing in my relationship to you. Give me that safety that I need. Brethren, we can escape safely, not stumbling, by evaluating our relationship with God in Christ and drawing closer to them, especially as we approach the spring holy days. Let's go forward as disciples and not stumble and fall backward.